right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Only Funny to Us. I am TJ.
My name is Ben.
I am Cliff.
Oh, hold on a second. I'm still getting ice out of my ears.
Nice.
You all right?
Mr. White Christmas over there, Mr. Snow.
I'm Mr. White Christmas.
Still smell Mr. Snow. Still smell like asparagus.
All right. Well, before we get into that, real quick, we want to welcome everybody to the podcast. You listen to us on the website, listen to us on iTunes, anywhere you want to find us. We're just
Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn.
Blah, 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 blah.
I forgot the rest.
Don't forget about our network, our network that we are expanding, the OFTU Network, OFTUnetwork.com, where we can all listen to Al's Toddcast, which is a fabulous show.
Great show.
Really fabulous show. And did we talk about Al, where he was from?
I don't think we've ever really given any. Maybe we did.
Well, if we didn't, and this is everybody's first podcast that they listen to from Only Funny to Us, Al Ramon from Radio X from many years ago, mm-hmm. from WJMX 103X, was a very successful radio show, very well done, very well produced. Al's just a super guy, goes above and beyond, introduced me to a lot of music that normally we would not be exposed to.
Yeah, he's introduced me to some just on his podcast.
Right.
Stuff that I local, you know, or smaller bands I'd never heard of, and I've given a listen to now. I'm like, man, they're really freaking good.
Or what they would call indie bands.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But whatever.
But the great
I love indie music.
But the great. Now, did you ever listen to Angry Salad?
I heard of them, but I don't think I've ever listened to them.
All right, I'm going to have to get you an Angry Salad CD because they were fantastic.
I love indie music.
Fantastic. And unfortunately, they just missed out on when that type of music was hitting the mainstream. Back when the Edwin McCain's and the Hootie and the Blowfish and really it was more of a kind of a grunge hippie
college whiny music.
There you go. back when it was big, you know, mm-hmm. and they just missed out on it, but they were really fantastic. But I listened to the podcast. It's on OFTU Network, and don't forget on OFTUnetwork.com or onlyfunnytous.com, you can go to the Amazon link. Again, we want to thank the lady for buying the automatic cat litter remover thinger. And those things, now, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. Somebody bought, and actually turns out to be a family member of mine, that bought the automatic cat litter remover thinger boxer. It was quite pricey.
Where are you going? Yeah, I just don't understand.
I have four dogs that I don't have to do anything expensive like that for.
Yeah, but they wouldn't crap in the hat. Well,
they do.
And you pick it up.
But I guess the difference is, and maybe you can go out and spend that kind of money on something like that because you can train a cat to use a litter box.
Right. I told you we had one of those electronic automatic litter box. It was amazing as long as we only had a couple of cats, but once we got too many, then it's just a mess.
And now we'll talk about how I trained a wild animal after a natural disaster to go to the bathroom in a certain place. Yeah. But
your pocket,
your hair,
and Steve's eye.
Eye. Well, it's the same creature.
There it is.
Yeah. Or at least same species. All right,
I remember.
The ALS Ice Bucket Challenge is all over the internet. Now I remember it being here locally in the Southeast. A lot of fire departments were doing it, but they weren't doing it for ALS. They were doing it for you choose your charity that you're going to distribute to, you're going to donate to, or you do the Ice Bucket Challenge or whatever. But in any event, it does a great job. It's fantastic. I have seen some videos online of there's a great video of a guy who was dressed in a bikini. And he's washing a car, and he's going overboard like a supermodel would. But he's a guy, mm-hmm. and it comes, you know. So he comes forward and says, "The reason I did something over the top like this is because he had just been recently diagnosed with ALS, and a couple of his family members had been diagnosed with ALS. There's video of him caring for somebody with ALS. It is horrible. It is rancid, and." We We'll tell you what we did here in just a couple of moments. We won't tell you all the details about it. We want you to check it out on our website and our Facebook page. But if you are going to do an ice bucket challenge, they have issued out a few things that maybe keep people safe. There was an incident where a group of firefighters were doing the ice bucket challenge from a fire ladder. It was on one of the trucks, and apparently it fell or something happened. Yeah. Some firefighters were injured.
It fell on the power lines, I think, and they got electrocuted.
Okay. So, I mean, it's okay. I mean, and it's good. It go over the top to try to, you know, get more people to watch it.
It's probably a freak thing.
But and I saw one a while ago where there was a guy that was between two fire trucks that had the nozzles in the front, and they just open up the valves.
There's several compilations of people doing it, and there's some where people will be like, you know, 6-7 feet under where they're having the water poured, and it like one of them, somebody's got like a 6-year-old pouring a 55 gallon drum or a 40 gallon tub, you know, a trash can full of water, and the kid drops it on their head. I mean, that, and then the camera, you know, the video cuts off, and you're like, oh my god, was she okay?
And it, you'll never know. So
there's been a few where that. I saw one where it was a rollaway trash can full of water, and they lost control of it, and it fell onto the person.
Right. I mean, it looks terrible.
Well, worse than that, I know what my rollaway trash can looks like on the inside, because I don't wash the inside of my rollaway trash can.
They wash that thing out before.
Because it is foul.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just foul. So, but here's a few things to think about. Like, don't have somebody dump the water from a balcony. They'll end up dropping the whole bucket by mistake and, you know.
Breaking your arm. Knocking you out. Looks like these people. They got either a serious concussion or a broken neck. I mean, really, it looked terrible.
Water is heavy.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Don't do it anywhere slippery. Outside on the grass is perfect, in the shower or in the kitchen or someplace like that.
I saw a guy in the tub do one, and he tried to lift the bucket up and fell right on his back.
Bang.
It was really,
Don't use too much water. Remember, you just have to be able to lift it over your head. And I've seen some people do it with, like, just a regular solo cup.
Yeah.
Put a couple of ice cubes in it.
A half-assed thing.
I know. It's chicken, but like you said, with the rollaway cart, with very heavy buckets, I mean, it's not the mass. It's the point of the whole situation.
They didn't take it like a man, like somebody in this room did tonight.
That's right.
Crowley.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into that.
Oh, Crowley.
Yes, sir.
You like taking it like a man.
Yeah. All he's got to say is there was significant shrinkage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I've got a little tidbit that Crowley let me. I think you were out of the room. Crowley let me and Cliff in on about his challenge earlier.
Uh-huh.
Once you talk about it, I'll tell
okay,
you.
Okay, all right, we'll get into that. And the other thing, and what Steve did, be upbeat about it. Don't just sit there, all right, I'm doing the ALS challenge, and get splashed and be done. That does nothing for anybody. And make it pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen some people want to draw it out. I mean, like...
way too long.
I mean...
You lose interest.
Yeah, so those just a few things.
I mean, you end up fast-forwarding through the message, you know, and you just...
Okay, so with all that being said, we did this research ahead of time, and we followed through with everything, and Steve Crowley has done... The ice bucket challenge. He did it in style. And what we did it in the front yard of the house. Took it like a man.
Booyah. Actually, there were two buckets.
That's right.
Took it from two men.
He got double teamed.
Oh my gosh, this is heading south really quick.
but we weren't high up.
Not too high.
We were in the bed of my truck. Mm-hmm. And you were sitting down.
So he took it from two men in a bed,
in a truck. This is like a country song writing itself.
It really is.
Two men in the bed of my truck.
God Almighty!
Okay, sorry. And
yikes!
But he did call some folks out. Do you remember who you called out?
Oh yeah, yeah. I kind of broke with tradition. I called out five people.
It's normally three. Yeah.
And one thing I didn't realize is that they're supposed to do it within the next 24 hours, or they have to donate to the ALS.
We'll give them
a pass
because I think one of them's out of town.
Yeah,
we're not gonna make them.
We're not stringent on the
rules. But
we're
just going to see if they do it and if they record it and put it on online.
Right. But, you know, I was making a joke earlier about when Steve had changed his clothes back, and I said something about his underwear being wet, and he looks over at me and Cliff, and he goes, I wasn't wearing underwear.
What?
Nope. I was going commando.
I was like, sweet Jesus, you mean there was only a thin piece of cloth between you and us?
Yep.
Now, I do want to give a shout out, because Steve did not come to town prepared. So he had to go to our local Goodwill store here in Hartsville. And oddly enough, the Goodwill store was wearing a Schlitz Malt Liquor t-shirt.
Yeah, he's wearing it right now. And actually, he got the clothes he got that he couldn't find anything there. He found stuff there he wanted to wear as his own. He didn't want to do the bucket challenge, so he got an old t-shirt and shorts that had belonged to my son.
Yeah,
and that's what he wore was Christopher's clothes.
His teenage son's clothes.
Yeah, it's stuff that we were going to donate anyway because Christopher's outgrown it.
Uh-huh.
Which tells you how much larger my children are than Crowley.
They're men.
Right, they're men.
You're a boy child.
Yeah.
He's wearing his Schlitz Malt Liquor t-shirt. He's very proud of that.
Incredibly proud of that, because I looked over there earlier and I thought he was playing with his nipples for a moment, but he was actually checking his shirt out.
He was looking at his own shirt.
Yeah, you're kind of narcissistic.
It's kind of ironic, you know.
You know, back in the day, I used to pick up on Fridays after I get off work. I'd pick up two of those Schlitz Malt Liquor, 24-ounce, the master cylinder, and then come to your house and drink them.
I used to get them for free from a good friend of ours, Mr. Neil Watson. I'm not going to tell you where he got them from.
We know.
Stole them.
Yeah, but he would bring those over, and you would wake up the next morning with the bullhorn growing out of your head. Oh,
I had a poster, as a matter of fact.
I did, too.
I put up in upstairs in the scout hood. So none of the scout masters ever saw it, but it was Sitting Bull. It was a Schlitz Malt Liquor ad. Tacked it up upstairs.
Now, I had one on my wall.
Mad Dog 2020 will make you hurt the next morning too. What? Oh gosh, you remember Mad Dog?
I remember it, but I thought we were talking about Schlitz.
Well, no, I think we're just talking about painful alcohol experiences.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't drink enough to have a painful.
Oh yeah, no, I've woken up wishing for death.
I'm not surprised.
But I've had. PBR, I mean, I used to have, and I gotta find it. Now that we brought that up, I'm gonna have to make a note. I do have a photograph somewhere of the Schlitz Malt Liquor Bull poster on my wall, and oddly enough, I was in junior high.
Wow. Well, you know, I was infatuated when I was a child with beer signs.
Yeah.
Electronic beer signs.
I had that Coors.
They weren't fluorescent. They were like, not fluorescent. They weren't neon. Yeah. They had fluorescent bulbs behind covers.
Right.
I had a natural light one that me and Adam found. God, I don't know where, in the trash dump somewhere, I think.
Sure. You know, Ray and I used that story, or at least.
Well, I was a lot. This is before I even knew you.
Ray, you used the story.
Yeah.
Finding stuff in the trash, like people would dump when we were kids, was nothing. We found a frying pan one time, took it out of these people's, there's like in a pile in front of their house. We took it out, we looked at it, it was cast iron. We're like, there's nothing wrong with this. We cleaned it off with a water hose, built a fire, and fried ourselves some bologna out in the yard.
Cliff is over here.
No telling what was in that frying pan before they threw it onto that trash.
Cliff, listen. I just said we cleaned it off. We got soap at the house and we cleaned it.
What I didn't hear was
Brillo pad.
We had a Brillo pad.
Okay,
that
so
was
you
we
like scoured it
with the water hose. Yeah, we cleaned it off.
At first, you just set a water hose.
Cliff is feeling a little better.
No. It wasn't just like straight out of the garbage. We actually went to my grandmother's and took a Brillo pad out and some Dawn dishwashing liquid, but we cleaned it in the yard with the hose and this.
Cliff, you feel better?
Maybe.
No, Goodwill stuff. Goodwill stuff is the bomb. And in fact, if
this hasn't been washed yet either. I put it on right when I got home.
That's right. Matter of fact, we took a picture of myself and Steve in front of the new Goodwill store today and put it on my, I'll share it on the podcast page.
Yeah, it'll be on our Facebook page, facebook.com/onlyfunnyto us. Make sure you like the page, share the page.
Right.
As Cliff put up there earlier, we all learned as children to share.
Or me and Adam will come to your house and fry bologna in your yard in an old pan.
Well, as I said, if you don't share it, you hate puppies. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
This is true.
Well, Crowley.
Or you'll kick a kitten.
Oh, I already hate puppies.
I was going to say, Crowley hates puppies. Yeah, anyways,
that's why you never share it.
No. I'm a total cat person.
Hey, every time you don't share it, a kitten dies.
Wow.
Oh, no. Wow. That's what it is.
Well, somebody didn't share it twice at my house this week.
No. Oh, well, oh no. Well, no, 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 no.
Well, we found two dead cats in the yard this week. They're getting into something or something bit them. I don't know what.
Just as long as it's not the Gray Brothers or Ginger Boy.
They're Ginger. I don't know who Crowley's naming my cats that I don't even know his name.
I name these cats. The ones that the
Ginger
few,
Boy,
the few ones that are friendly.
Yeah,
I name.
Yeah.
The there's official two, cat. Oh my gosh, that's going to go on the official logo for Ginger Top Records.
There's two
Ginger Boy the cat.
There's two gray males, and they both individually do not have names, but together they're the Gray Brothers.
Yeah.
So what happens if they split up? I mean, is it like Art Garfunkel and
then one that's just Gray Brother,
the
and gray brother,
one. And then there's one Ginger.
Now here's what my
who's friendly.
You know,
and
speaking
I call
of
him
this,
Ginger Boy.
I thought about this. Steve, you live in an apartment where you cannot have pets.
I just got to pay a hefty pet deposit.
What do you call hefty?
Several hundred dollars.
I mean,
a year or just
one time?
Just a one-time fee.
Gone too much. I'm not going to get a cat. I'm not going to leave a cat cooped up in a studio apartment.
That's what it
all
is.
Weekend, every weekend.
I just wanted to make sure because my concern for you is during the week.
At work all day during the week.
But you get home at night, you don't have a pet.
You don't have a friend.
I have a friend.
You don't have a partner.
I have a friend now, thanks to shout out Lori and William.
Don't
holla.
Say shout out.
I not only said shout out, I said holla.
And we have discovered that you have profited off of this podcast more.
Oh, yep. Yeah. The three of us combined.
And just to let you know, Lori and William, I use that thing every night.
Please tell what thing that is.
Is it a Hitachi?
I use the Keurig.
Hitachi magic wand.
No, I use the Keurig every night.
Sounds like a Mercury outboard motor.
And then right when you're about to finish.
What are you doing?
Apparently, he's using his gas-powered one.
Yes, he's got
took the engine off a moped.
He cranks it. Anyway, no, it's a Keurig. They were very generous to give it.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
A really nice gift.
Forever in your debt.
Really good people, William and Lori.
I'm in forever in their debt just for listening to this damn show.
No, I meant so he would shut the hell up about the Keurig every week.
I think that's why they gave it to you, because they were tired of hearing you cry about it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Nothing to do out of the goodness of their heart. They just want you to shut up.
The new thing that I have now that I'm going to cry and
oh, please, no, 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 no.
What is
it? Hopefully that
you're not going to get a Jeep.
I want a Grand Wagoneer.
People in hell want ice water.
That's true. They do.
I want a Grand Wagoneer.
All right. Next topic.
You wanted the ice bucket challenge to go a little bit better. We'll let people find out about that. So Rebecca comes home. Trying to make sure that we had done the ice bucket challenge before the podcast because she's a big advocate. She loves storms. I love storms. I love weather. I love, you know, when someone says
I like weather. Thunderstorms are okay.
No, it depends on how they are.
If
they're a good thunderstorm, there's nothing like sitting out and that thing
comes in. That's true.
Or if you're out there and there's been a couple times I've been out in weather. I'm thinking. Yeah, this is probably not going to go well.
I just don't want I'm cool with it as long as my power doesn't go off. And that I've gotten the grass cut. I don't like it when it rains and the grass is already long.
Well,
it just seems like a mess.
Well, it is a mess. And then the problem, like the recent weather we had around here for the past couple of weeks, it's been like a continuous monsoon. I had to go over the grass in the backyard multiple times on different settings just to get it to semi-cut. It's still not properly cut, but at least I'm not driving over tree stumps and tree roots and screwing up my riding lawnmower.
I gave you that lawnmower, damn it.
I know you did. I know you did.
That's how we treat
it. I had it repaired. It was still cutting a little crooked.
And you worked diligently when he gave you that thing. Carburetor and
a
turbo and power steering.
Turbo, a battery. the solenoid. I painted the grill in it, everything. See? I did a lot of work to that thing. And then
you can't miss a root?
Oh, I didn't see it. It was under the dirt.
But you rode over it how many times?
Twice.
Okay.
Well, normally when you hit a root, it chops it down and you're not going to hit it again. Well, this root was from a Bradford pear, which is extremely hardwood. And it kind of covered it up with dirt after the first time I hit it. So I'm thinking it's gone. Drive over it again, and it's not gone. It bends the blade a second time. Well, I straightened the blade out again. Everything was good. But for some reason, the blade decided, somewhere in the midst of cutting the grass, it bent itself, I guess just from the momentum or something, and it ended up shaking the damn mandrel housing until it just snapped off the deck. And now I've got to replace that.
Oh, my God. You know, when you say
straight... $30, but still.
When you say straight, well, then he posted, after that, he posted on Facebook, I finally took an axe and chopped the root. Oh, yeah. And all I could think about was, that's incredibly hard-ass manual labor to be doing when it's 95 degrees outside.
But I was pissed off.
Yeah, but I mean, your adrenaline got,
I was like, you know what?
Got jacked up.
You know what? I'm not letting this root win. And you know what I did after I chopped it up and started driving the lawnmower again?
Did you sacrifice it?
I drove right over the top of that and flipped it off.
That root won the battle, but you won the war.
Got that right.
Well, I did. But even in its, after its demise, it still managed to tear up the deck on my lawnmower.
Oh, God.
But that's all right. I'll get the new piece, and I'll put it on, and I will continue to cut my grass. And thank Cliff in the process for giving me that lawnmower.
Long story short, you used a lawnmower to cut off a root.
No, I used an axe to cut off a root.
No, the root used itself to ruin the lawnmower.
The root ruined the lawnmower. It didn't chop it up. That Bradford pear wood is ridiculous hard.
Oh, yeah. Those are terrible.
So I went out there with that axe. It took me quite a while, and it was very hot, and I was sweating quite a bit, but I managed to chop it up.
But there's really nothing like a good storm, and I've only been caught up because we talked about the rain and then how it brought up the grass.
Cliff shook his head like, what the hell? We were talking about lawnmowers.
I know. I'm trying to steer us back on what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Now, I've only been in one hailstorm.
Oh.
And there was and it was in Florence, and I'll never forget. I was driving from the airport way into town. It was a rancid storm. And then all of a sudden you hear big, 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 big. I was like, and then you're thinking, all right, the window's going to get shattered.
Yeah.
The things are going to come hit me. I'm going to get pelted to death. I mean, it's a rather frightening experience.
We drove through one. Oh, go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, you won a hailstorm.
Oh.
A couple of years ago, your house.
Yeah, you were there. That was
freak hailstorm where it was like it was pouring down.
I've been through four or five hailstorms.
And my car was parked in the front yard and ended up doing like $5,000 of damage to
it. But what did I tell you before the storm? What did Glenda tell you?
Move it into the carport.
Glenda said, put it in the carport. And you went, no, I don't think it'll be okay. I don't think it is going to happen. His car looked like a
famous last words.
It looked like a blue golf ball.
I ended up having all the panels on the car replaced.
You know what that's called? You get the insurance money, and you keep it, and you drive a dented car.
No, he got it. He got that fixed.
It was ridiculously pockmarked.
Two or three months after I got my truck, hailstorm.
I remember that.
Crap out of it. Well, I just when I got the insurance check, I just sent it to the bank to put down on the truck. I didn't give a crap if it was dented.
Right. I mean, but you could still drive it?
Yeah.
Did it still look good on the inside?
Looks all right, yeah.
But on the outside.
It wasn't that beat up. But since then, it's been through two more hailstorms.
Right.
One coming home from Camden one day where it was like the stuff hitting the window. You're like, oh, my God, this is like going to shatter my window.
Right.
But it didn't. And then another one at the house the same night Crowley's car got beat up.
And you didn't put it under the garage either?
No, because it was already dented. Why would I need to do that? It was already covered in hail.
If it was now today, I probably wouldn't get it repaired. But
yeah.
Back then, I'd only had my car maybe a couple of years.
He was so finicky about that car. You know the railroad tracks down near the old Hardee's on
Fifth
Street?
Yeah.
He would almost come to a complete stop to go over those railroad tracks.
I hate you people. I hate
the ones that stop to
turn right. stop to go over a bump. If your car is that damn precious, yeah, you shouldn't drive.
He would
it
slow
at
down.
All.
I was like,
"Well,
you and I drive doing?
Trucks that are kind of. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, the three of us do, and
yeah,
you drive.
Crowley's car feels every. Bump
you drive
in the, road.
The egg from Mork and Mindy.
If I had a Grand Wagoneer, I would.
Jeez,
we're gonna get inundated really with slow. Matchbox. We're gonna get inundated with Matchbox and Hot Wheels cars now.
Better not.
We'll do the
real thing. I can drive it around.
Okay, y'all get him the Grand Wagoneer. There's a used one somewhere. Go get that for him. One that won't run. Then we'll sell his car.
Carolina Avenue.
We'll
price reduced.
We'll sell your car and we'll split the money three ways for us.
I think that's fair.
You can have the truck.
Is that now? Is your car paid off?
Yes.
Oh yeah. I think.
What year is your car?
I think Don
2006.
Oh, Don's car crushing will give us $400.
But it's got a big dent in the side from where someone hit him, and he just decided to pocket the insurance money.
Yeah, somebody backed into me in a convenience
store. Oh, but you'd pocket
lot.
So you'd pocket the insurance money for that.
Well, it was already paid for and old by then.
It was already paid for, and it was like just last year.
Now, do you still have the pull string that you have to pull in it to get it to go?
He's got to replace the hamsters four or five
times. Or the Evel Knievel wheel, if you remember that, when you put the, the motorcycle in there and you crank it up and then you get in and go.
Pulls a ripcord.
Anyway, hailstorms.
So, hailstorms. So, it looks like there's something out as we are early into the hurricane season. Something out off the southeast coast may or may not coming up. So I heard somebody make a great comment. And this was great. I don't know how many models there are. There's like, what, 14, 15?
There's a bunch.
16 models. And each one shows it going different absolutely
ways,
in
yeah.
different direction, except for one that shows it going straight up the pooper of Florida.
Yeah.
And you wonder if just that person that created that model hates the people in Florida. and is trying to freak
those bastards.
And it's just trying to freak them out. It's coming right at you.
Yeah, well,
it's coming right for you.
They say the reason they're all showing different stuff is because it hasn't really formed yet, so they can't really predict where it's going.
But it's been what we were talking about before the show. It's been a while.
Yes.
And not that we're hoping for it, but it's been a while since we've actually had a major. Cat 4,
yeah.
Cat 5.
Oh, well, it's always a while between those certain places. I mean,
now the last thing we had. And I know, Ben, you're looking, Cliff, you're diligently looking on your computer. And I'm trying to think.
One of them hit Myrtle Beach recently. It's been a few years ago. It was like a glancing blow, I think. Was it Floyd? Or when was Floyd?
Floyd was further back. There was an Ernesto.
I don't remember.
There was a Crowley. That thought about it but changed its mind.
We deal with that one every weekend.
I don't remember anything since Hugo.
Yeah, now Hugo was the big one. And I remember distinctly, that's one of the storms that I was out and about in.
Yeah, you went driving in the middle of it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Irene,
who was with you?
Irene
hit Cape Lookout, North Carolina back in 2011. Arthur was the last one to hit North Carolina. That was this year in June.
That was a little, glancer. That was kind of.
It was a one category one.
Mm-hmm. That was a not much.
Yeah. So let's look back.
If you get caught between the moon and Outer Banks,
oh God,
I know it's crazy, but it's true.
Tropical storm.
So I can't remember the last thing that hit us. It's been a while since we've had a major.
It was 2004, according to the charts here.
Okay, 2004, which was?
Oh, Jesus, wait, I lost it.
Gustav or Gaston?
No, Gaston.
Gaston. Oh, that's
right. They called it Gaston or whatever.
From, what was the movie? Beauty and the Beast.
I named it after the Disney film.
Well, I don't know where they come up with these stupid names.
They just have lists.
I know.
But anyway, it was 2004. It hit in Awandaw, South Carolina, and it was a class one.
But I do remember Hugo.
Oh, yeah.
My brother and his wife came up because they were living in the historic section of downtown Charleston.
That was, what, 89?
89.
Yeah.
And it was September of 89.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. September 26th. Because
I was still working at W.H. Hicks & Son, Feed and Seed.
And I was...
Cliff, Ben, and I were seniors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, y'all would have been seniors.
In September of 89.
Yeah.
We were seniors.
I had already graduated.
We had just started back school.
But I do remember Jimmy Estrada. We'll give him a shout out and a hit on the page, but never.
Jimmy.
Not that he ever looks at his Facebook page.
Check his
Just a super guy. But he shacked up at the house. for the storm.
Right.
Had Stephen and Barb there for the storm. And we were waiting for the worst to hit. And I guess it was around 4 a.m., 3:30 or 4, somewhere about that area.
2:33, somewhere in there, yeah.
Because we had gone out about midnight is when we thought it was going to hit. And so Jimmy and I saddled up in the Flying Burrito.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember, and gosh, I don't, I know I've got pictures of these somewhere.
Oh, God.
No.
I'm not going to commit to it, but I know I've seen them somewhere, but I know what I did was, you remember when right before the hurricane was hitting, everyone taped up their windows.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the big star.
Oh, we've got that. We got the picture's already up there.
The picture's already up there. All right, check it out. Because I actually taped up the windows of my car and taped up Hugo.
Why do you tape?
Oh, yeah. Why remember that?
Is it make it easier to clean up?
It's just easier to clean up. It doesn't protect it.
It keeps the glass together.
Right. If you have tempered glass, if you have glass that will hold together, if you have glass that will just shatter, then... Well, then you're just screwed. Right. You got a couple of pieces stuck together with tape.
Right. But, well, if you put enough tape, it'll help some.
But we went out and it was kind of lackluster, and I was like, whatever. And we went back to the house, and of course,
whatever.
And a lot of radio stations started losing signal, and I know that the stations over in Florence, WJMX, WDAR, all lost signal because the satellite dish rack on the top. We talked about this when Ed Palmer was here. There's also a rack of microwave dishes, and to fill people in, the signal comes out of the station through a MARTI transmitter.
Right.
Through a microwave dish, those microwave dishes send the signals to the transmitters, and then the transmitters rebroadcast that signal. It's just the way that you don't have to be sitting right next to your transmitter anymore.
Getting radiation poisoning.
Yeah, which explains a lot with me.
Yep.
But basically, that whole rack got torn off the top of the Business and Technology Center.
It's curled up like a finger. Yeah. Hands and a finger.
I mean, it was just twisted. And then somebody, I want to say it was Dave Baker. We'll give him a shout. And I don't know if it's right timing. I think he was there.
Is that when the red phone rang? The governor's office phone? That was Gore.
Was it Gore?
Tim was up there when the red phone rang.
And then, but the tragedy that happened was water started pouring into because the radio floor. Stations are on the third floor. It's a four-story building. It seeped all the way through and started pouring onto the equipment in the studio. So they had to rapidly, and they did, they took giant shears and sheared all the wires off of the back of the control boards and jerked the boards off of the, well, they actually had to unscrew the boards because they're bolted down and move everything so it wouldn't get damaged. Mm-hmm. Well, that was when the boombox was a big deal.
Parked it in the parking lot.
They parked it in the parking lot, and they had an engineer come in and run all the cabling down. It was actually it was right on the side of the building, just outside where the studios are.
Ran them down three stories and ran all the signal cables down.
And got back up on the air and broadcast what was going on. Now, jump back to me being an idiot. Went out at about... I want to say it was about 2:30 or 3, maybe just somewhere in that, we'll say between 2 and 4, because we thought that nothing was going to happen. We went driving around town, drove down across Presswood, and saw transformers exploding at Sunoco. I mean, just purple, blue sparks, I mean, showering all over the place. So we turned around. We had passed that road. What is that road that leads to Sunoco right there?
I think they call it Sunoco Road.
Sunoco Road.
I think that's what it's called now, yeah.
But it's where the Coker Boathouse is. You would get down that way. When we drove by it originally to go across the bridge, nothing was going on. Nothing was impeding progress to go down Sunoco Road. We just went across the bridge, turned around, and came back. When we came back, there was a pine tree with about a 3-foot diameter that had been uprooted and dropped across Sunoco Road. And I was like, it's time to go back home.
You remember how when you looked down Home Avenue, you couldn't see anything but trees that had fallen.
Yeah.
The entire way. I had to, the night it happened, I went to bed like regular. I was like, all right, whatever. It's a storm. Great. I remember waking up about it was in the middle of the storm, so I guess it was around 4:30, 4.
Yeah,
I don't know,
somewhere in that area.
When it was really, when I opened the front door and looked out the front window, everything was going sideways.
Right, it was hitting.
And my brother and my mother were curled up together on the couch with a blanket, and the power was gone by now.
Right, yeah.
And we had a flashlight on, and they were listening to a battery powered radio. Well, my stepfather had gone outside. He had to go to work. He worked for the telephone company.
Oh, wow.
So he got in his El Camino and just put it on down the road, and he was gone after that. I mean, you know, he came back the next day, but when I woke up,
I thought this podcast was about to take a horrible turn, and he just drove on down the road, and that was the last we saw.
He never found the El Camino.
He definitely came back. He definitely came back. But when I woke up the next morning, I thought, well, you know what? I better ride up to Hicks and Son, because that was a Friday night, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Because
I was supposed to work that day, and I was like, well, dog, I wonder if I'm going to have to, you know. So I drove up there. I ended up having to drive across Coker's campus on the grass, and I wasn't the first person, because there was already a ruts forming, you know, because you couldn't go down Home Avenue. You couldn't go right or left. So I had to go straight across through the old library parking lot, across the grass, and then over to what is now 4th Street, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Got to work, and of course we weren't really open. But we had to clean up the warehouse, because it had ripped the roof off the warehouse in the back, and everything had gotten wet. And months later, I remember we had big old bags of ryegrass back there. And they were sprouting months later, because they had gotten wet.
That's
and
awesome.
The seeds on the top had used the seeds on the bottom as soil. And
oh,
they sprouted.
Oh, my gosh. That's
growing
awesome.
Out of the bags. But it was wild. It was definitely a wild night. Yeah.
I don't remember sleeping that night at all. I don't think any of me or my family slept.
I went in and out of sleep.
I went back to sleep after I got up and saw them on the couch and looked out the window. I thought, I'm going back to bed.
When we got through with our excursion going across Presswood, we came back and took a little nap, and then I was woken up by the sound of something being banged around in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, and of course, remember, they scared the death out of all of us by saying, be careful of looters. There's going to be looters when the hurricane hits. They're going to come take your stuff.
It was Jimmy in there with your mom.
Yeah, it was. It was tragic. No, it was my brother. Because we were so
Jimmy, with your mom
with Jimmy,
your brother and Jimmy on the table,
because we were so ill prepared for the storm, we had no flashlights.
Oh.
So he was finding different pieces and parts of separate non-working flashlights and trying to rig them up using bread ties.
Oh my god!
So that we could see, and he was, you know, if you held it just the right way, you could see, but you couldn't see anything because it was pouring down rain.
How long were we out of power? Like 2 weeks? A week?
It was a while. Yeah,
2 weeks.
I remember Dr. Kruger that lived in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
He was right, you know, with the brick fence in between our yard and
with the
yard.
Great collies.
Yeah. He got power back before we did.
And yeah, I think we were pretty good getting power back.
I think Mama was out in the yard one day, and he happened to walk up to the fence, and I asked her, did we have power back? She said no. He said, well, how about I run an extension cord from my house over to your yard, and y'all can use it for at least lights and the refrigerator.
See?
So she was like, yeah, okay, thanks.
Looking out for each other.
That's right. That's what you got to do in those desperate times like that.
I made so much money. I had tools. The ability to work in a yard, a chainsaw, a truck, and a trailer.
David did the same thing. He had several chainsaws and was going around cutting trees and stuff.
And made so
show
much
of hands.
Money.
And that's all you heard the next morning. Mm-hmm. All up and down the road.
Nobody went to work.
Show of hands, how many people went to the Landmark Hotel and stole ice out of the ice makers?
I didn't.
I am the only jackass.
With your hand up.
Because the refrigerators didn't work. We didn't have anything to cool anything down. I went and looted five coolers worth of ice out of the Landmark. Now, and just to put it to perspective with Rebecca, I remember.
How old was she?
We were driving by the Landmark, and I was like, man, I can remember stealing ice from there after Hurricane Hugo.
Uh-huh.
And she went, oh, wow, I was 7.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah, that sucked. But
you know, Glenda was at Coker at the time.
Oh, really?
She was going to school there, and which was funny because, you know, I would marry her, 4 or 5 years later. Didn't even know who she was then, but she spent the night at the dorms at Coker during
Hugo. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now
but I mean, they're very solid. You know, that wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah. Now, a couple of my favorite are hurricane stories. Working on an ambulance for so long, we would be on standby for either evacuation or response.
Yeah.
So this is when I was living in Columbia, and there was it was Floyd. I want to say it was Floyd that was going up through North Carolina.
Right.
That actually turned out to be a fairly significant event. It was
more of a rain event than anything.
Right, but it did cause a bunch of flooding problems, and it was an issue. But they put us on standby, and the greatest thing about being put on standby, and I guess it's all funded by the government.
Yeah.
And this would be pre-FEMA, I would imagine. Which was a byproduct of Andrew.
Andrew, yeah.
So, but they put us up at the police academy. We had great digs. And for supper the first night, we had steak, all you can eat.
Wow.
Baked potato.
And a baked potato.
I mean, we had just a whatever you wanted. You got a good night rest. You woke up the next morning to a fabulous breakfast. And I was ready to go. This was like early in my EMT career. I was ready to go out and save the world. I was going to go.
Actually, FEMA was formed in 1978.
Oh.
So it was not a product of Andrew.
Well, then I stand corrected.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
So maybe they did fund us, and then thank you, FEMA. but I was ready to go. I mean, I was ready to go. They were saying the hurricane was hitting. We're going to wait till everything gets done, and we're heading up there. And so we had our morning briefing, and we were told that most of us would not be responding.
Oh.
Go back to work. And I was bummed.
Because you wanted a steak.
More steaks and baked potatoes.
I'm sure up there.
Well, it's just something different to
do. Yeah, I mean, but it's an adrenaline rush. It's something exciting. But then another time, there was another storm that was coming through, and I cannot remember what this was, but it was going to hit Hilton Head. Or aimed to hit Hilton Head. Mm-hmm. So we actually were sent on ambulances to evacuate the hospital down there because the hospital would not sustain, they said, what was coming. So we went down there and we loaded up like three, four patients in our ambulance.
Stacked
and racked. We had a stretcher mount, you had the bench seat, and then the older ambulances had hanging racks where you could hang
bodies
bodies at that point, and we took them up to Rock Hill, and the initial thing that was cool is we're heading down 95 going to Hilton Head, clear sailing all the way down, no traffic up at all. Coming the other way, nothing but headlights.
Right.
So when we were coming back, because we didn't know how many runs we were going to have to make, so when we were coming back, I was driving, and the guy in the back said, "Hit your lights and siren, and we'll cut through traffic." And I'm like, "Where in the hell are we going to cut through traffic? We're on I-95, bumper to bumper. Nobody's moving. Where in the hell are we going to go?" Sure enough,
on the apron.
Went on the apron, then to the grass, and then I would weave in, and then got in the center, and it's parted like the Red Sea.
Wow.
And I drove straight down the center of I-95, parting everybody. And that's kind of a cool experience, you know.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
I mean, granted, really, I mean, there was no real emergency. Everybody we had was stable, but, you know, to be able to have that power.
You had patience in there.
We did have patience, and we had power. And then we got to Rock Hill, dropped them off, and they said, "All right, you're done. Go home."
You know, maybe I'm crazy with this, but I like hurricanes.
I get excited.
Not when they're super bad. Like Hugo. That was, you know, but the ones that just come in, give you a lot of rain, a lot of wind.
You know what it is?
What?
Like you said, it's something different.
Well, Randy and I used to live right across the street from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime a hurricane would come through, we'd always just meet out in the road and just stand there and watch it.
Check it out.
I mean, just watching some of this. We'd have whole conversations out in the road with the wind, and it wouldn't be very hard rain at the time, but then I'd move to the porch, but still.
I can remember living up in Massachusetts, and a hurricane was supposed to hit us.
Did you get on a roller coaster?
I got on a roller coaster. I worked at an amusement park, and I was...
Shut up.
I hate all of you.
Oh, my God.
But we were waiting for the hurricane to come. I mean, it was so imminent that they canceled school.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about an area that does have to cancel school because of snow, because we did have to walk through the snow 12 inches high. I mean, you know. So I remember me and my cousin Cindy, Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if we've ever mentioned on the podcast.
Maybe once or twice.
Yeah, we'll tag her in this.
Y'all went to see her in Boston, remember?
Right. But the house we were sitting in was right in our backyard was I-91.
Uh-huh.
And that was going to be where everyone was trying to get in and out of town, try to, you know, make it out of here.
Yeah.
So we set up, and in that room, there was a huge living room, and we set up chairs staring out these two huge plate glass windows that I had taped up. Thank you.
There you go.
And we were going to watch the interstate and watch the cars get blown off. Yeah, that was.
How'd that work out for you?
We got a rainstorm, and that was it. I mean, it was nothing.
Fun part for me was when we when I worked in radio. You and I never really worked together all that much in radio. You left when I started and all that. Driving around in Bertha, I don't remember which one it was, but driving around Second Loop Road, driving down Second Loop Road. As the transformers began to explode and having the sparks shower down on the van and no other cars on the road except police cars with their lights on.
Wow.
And we're driving around with a Marty, a remote transmitter, transmitting reports.
Which is exactly what you want to put up during
a big cargo
storm.
Van. We're in a cargo van, which is like a sailboat. And every time the wind would hit, the van would begin to lean hard to the right. Oh, that was fun.
Now, I will say, and here's another shout out to another radio person. I don't know. I think we did talk about another mention to Scott Summers. Some people know him as Bubba Dore. Scott Summers, that was on, started off here in Hartsville at WHSC as Bubba Dore, went on as Scott Summers, WNOK, 103X. He's been all over the place, tremendous guy. But he was at the Outer Banks for a little while. And great story, a storm. It might have been, I'm trying to think, it's 2014, 2009. What was the one that hit the Outer Banks that you mentioned not too long ago?
Irene.
It had to be Irene back in 05, 06.
I don't know. Somewhere. Irene was a while. Maybe it was, I don't remember what it was.
Or it might have been Floyd.
Could have been Floyd.
But it might have been one of the two. They decided that they were going to stay on the air. And they knew that their studios would get flooded. So they went out to their transmitter site that was on a little barrier island in a marshland.
You get a better bounce that way.
Yeah, I mean, it works out.
And it's true. You get a better signal and, on flat near the coastline, too.
So they hunkered down. They had made a lot of preparations beforehand. And they stayed on the air in the transmitter building with a makeshift little rig. And they were able to transmit important electrical information. This is where you go to get shelter, if you need water, if you need this. All this is going on.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, it used to be the transmitter sites had to be nuclear bomb proof.
Yeah, they're pretty solid.
The AM transmitter for Douglas Street.
Oh my gosh!
If 970, it is rated, and there's a sign on the wall rated as a nuclear bomb shelter.
Yeah.
Of course, it was built in the 40s or the 50s.
Well, you know, there's also one underneath Thornwell.
There is one underneath Thornwell. Yeah,
John said he went down there a while back for something, and they still had still had rations and cans and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, in the boxes and things ready. I mean, obviously they were from the 60s. You can't use them anymore. But I mean, it's really neat.
With enough preservatives, they might.
Well, I mean, what the city ought to do, or whoever, is turn it into some kind of museum.
I think I would love to take that.
I'd like to just see it.
I'd like to take that whole building and turn it into townhouses and.
And
you could turn that bomb shelter into some sort of a shopping thing. Oh, I mean, you're getting me off subject here. But the residual effect about staying on the air, it was several years later, and Scott Summers was in a parade, like a Christmas parade, Thanksgiving parade, whatever. And as he was walking down the street, this woman came up and pulled him to the side and said, I want you to know that I still remember what you did during the hurricane. If it hadn't been for you, we would not have known where to go get fresh water because we were out of water. Because, I mean, everything had to have been brackish and just horrible. We wouldn't have known how to do anything. And I can't thank you enough. And it's like, wow. You know, you're sitting there thinking, at the time, because I've done radio done radio gigs where we're stuck up in the building doing broadcast all night, and I did one with Ed Palmer, and I think we talked about it on the air. It was me and Ed Palmer and Gary Pierce, and it turned out to be really kind of a non-event, but we stayed up straight 24 hours, and it eventually did get knocked off the air, and we're thinking, this sucks. I better be getting paid overtime.
During one of those 90s hurricanes, Harold sent me, or our boss at the time, sent me up to the Tross transmitter. Well, excuse me, Society Hill.
Yeah.
103X's transmitter. The one that got cut down years ago.
Yeah.
He said, go up there and turn the generator on and make sure that the generator works. Well, nobody had been there in 15 years to do anything. So I went up there. How do I do this? Because nobody knew but Harold, because he was the only one.
He probably put it in. Yeah.
So flip the switches, turn this on,
and pray for it to be quick.
Flip this massive breaker. Call the studio. Okay, we're going to be off the air for like 2 minutes. Just play something or whatever.
Yeah.
We're going to be off. Flip the massive breaker. Go to start the generator. And the batteries had been sitting there so long, they built up hydrogen and not vented, so they exploded.
Oh, my gosh.
So the tops of the batteries are blown off. There's acid everywhere. Oh, nice. I flipped the breaker back to main power really quick and called the station and said, send me somebody to fix this. And this is a generator the size, it's a Caterpillar diesel generator.
Like one of the, we've got one over at Miller now.
So it's like out of a bulldozer.
Yeah. And I mean, so it's
what they send the bulldozer company. They sent whatever the bulldozer guys, and they came out and got it going. But this guy knows nothing about what we're doing. Send him out there and make him do
it. Go check this out. There's a, and I'm sure you know what this is, because I went out there and had to do something with the transmitter. They said, don't forget to grab the Oh Jesus stick.
The J stick,
but the Jesus stick. Yeah.
There's three reasons it's named the Jesus stick.
Okay, and it is,
It's shaped like a J.
Right.
It's shaped like a shepherd's staff.
Right.
If you don't use it, you're going to see Jesus.
Right. And I mean, because you have to take it and put it across
all the capacitors and discharge all the caps in the transmitter, because they hold enough static charge to blow your arm off or stop your heart.
Just completely
kill you.
Flat kill you.
Just completely kill you.
There's a story a PD once told me that he was on the phone with the engineer who was at the transmitter working on it, and he was talking to him back and forth, and then he suddenly said he heard some snapping noises, and then nobody was on the other end.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I don't remember if he said the guy was dead or not.
Let's just say he made it.
Yeah,
it worked, because I don't want to bum people out. Mm-hmm. Let's just say people made it. So
the phone went dead.
the phone went dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad weather.
The fun part is going out to Egypt, the EGX 92.9's transmitter, because that's that big, 1,500 foot stick?
It's a 2,000 foot stick. And
go out there in an ice storm.
Yeah, no. There,
you'll find out real quick why there's two layers of tires on the transmitter roof, because the ice that forms on that thing breaks off.
Right.
And you hear it, and it sounds like World War II bombs dropping. They whistle on the way down, and then they hit the tires and explode, and you don't park anywhere near it during an ice storm.
No.
I've been to that one.
We have a little tower in the back of Miller. It's probably about 400 feet, but even with those, whenever it ices up and they pop off of those cables, be somewhere else.
No, yeah.
That's not, but the fun thing that I do remember about Hugo is, since the electricity was out, you had to invent things to eat, because you only had, what you had in there, the refrigerators were dead, the freezers were dead, and you had to figure out what you had in the cupboards to come up with food combinations.
Like raw flour and uncooked rice.
Hey.
Crunchy.
I lived on
uncooked ramen noodles.
Crunchy and dusty.
We're cooking it over a lantern.
No, sorry, I sat there and I looked at and I thought, if I leave the ramen noodles in just regular water long enough, eventually they'll get soft.
Get a little flour, a little salt, make and a little water, make some hardtack.
Yep.
But we did have to create. I mean, you had canned goods. I would take a can of black eyed peas and really just eat it.
And can we say something about the fact that anyone in the South, if they say the word snow,
all the milk and bread in the world disappears.
I've never understood that.
You make milk sandwiches.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I guess.
Here's the thing. I mean, they
bread's not going to spoil. The milk, I guess, if the power goes out, you can still stick it outside.
Yeah, you shove it in the snow.
But I guess there's just staples. That's the only thing I can figure.
Well, you know,
it's just become a habit now.
According to Walmart, the biggest sellers during a hurricane are Pop-Tarts and beer.
Yeah.
You know, those sell more than water.
I go get bread, bologna, and mustard.
Here's the funny thing about the milk and bread when it snows. I always happen to run out.
Oh, yeah.
And I need it because we eat bread and milk, you know, that sort of. And I feel like a jackass down there with the rest of these people buying bread and milk. But I really,
you really
I could have got
it
two or 3 days ago and you know, before the snow was being called for.
You're not getting it because of the impending doom.
Right. I just happened to run out. And that's happened multiple times over the years. And I really feel like an asshat down there. I'm like, God, I almost don't even want to buy it. Well, I'd almost just be without.
We're supposed to have a bunch of snow this year, but they said that about last year. Had a couple of days of snow.
We had three snowstorms.
Around here, two or three snowstorms is a bunch for a season.
That's significant.
I still have to work.
I can remember.
Right. Still need ATMs.
Food and snowstorms. We had my parents had bought. Have you ever seen one of those antique? It was supposed to be a popcorn maker.
I don't think so.
Hang it in the fireplace kind of thing?
You would hang it next to it. I always thought it was just decoration.
But, those big frying pans with the tops on them.
But it had a top, but it was filled with holes. Too small for the kernels to fall through, but you could put them over a fire and it would pop them. So we had a really bad snowstorm, late 70s, early 80s, somewhere in that area. And Dad was like, we can have popcorn.
They're decorative, but we're able to use them.
Oh, my God. No, you can't. All the kernels started catching on fire. And then they eventually popped, but it was you know. And then, of course, but he was stubborn. He was like, no, these are good. These are. And he sat there and ate them. I was like, there's not a chance in hell.
You know what Glenda always seems to go and get when it's, or me and her both, and I don't know why we do this, when there's like an impending snowstorm. We go and get a bunch of potato chips.
It's
all different flavors just for, I don't know why.
It's carbs.
But
keep you going.
No, it's not that. It's just like, because we're just going to be sitting around the house snacking, I guess. I mean, it's not like we have a, I don't know why people feel like they have to stock up. We're not going to get a snowstorm big enough to where you're stuck in the house for a week.
Hey, man, you don't know.
I do know.
You don't know.
I'm 42 years old. We've only had one like that, and that was back in when I was, you know, wasn't even a year old in 72, you know.
Yeah. But we're due.
I guess.
Well, that last storm we had this past winter, and I was in Columbia. I just walked from my apartment across the State House grounds, and went to IHOP.
Right. I mean,
and it was packed.
No, I bet it was.
Everybody had the same idea. Yeah, I did.
FEMA has a.
We got to do something about that IHOP situation.
I know.
FEMA has a scale.
It's not going to fix itself.
Nope.
They call the Waffle House scale, and it's. How bad is something if all the Waffle Houses are closed?
Yeah, because they'll
Waffle
stay
House
open.
Doesn't close.
They don't.
Yeah, right.
And they have a Waffle House scale. I'm not exactly sure how they figure it out.
We could be invaded by by the Russian military.
They'd force the Waffle House to open,
and the Waffle House will be open. And then all you would hear, all the waitresses. Oh, I can't believe the Russian army's, they're invading the country, and I got to work.
You want hot syrup?
I just want to be my boyfriend.
You need more tea.
Oh, Lord.
Have you developed any weird food traits because of a bad storm? Or
no, I have one because of what my mother used to feed me and Adam when we were kids.
And that is?
I like macaroni and cheese with ketchup. And I'll tell you why.
Okay, because I don't know if I can hear it.
Mama used to always fix us fish sticks and macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to like to dip my fish sticks in ketchup.
I mean,
some would always get on my macaroni and cheese, but I would eat it anyway. And over the years, I developed a taste for it. I liked it.
I'm going to have to say no.
Well, Christopher likes broccoli with brown gravy on it.
I used to put ketchup on steamed cabbage.
And I'll tell you
because my grandmother told me that's what the cowboys did.
Let me tell you why Christopher likes...
Yeah, just to get you to eat it.
Let me tell you why Christopher likes broccoli with brown gravy. When I was working at Gailey and Lord one time, we used to, on some days in the cafeteria, we'd have broccoli and cheese.
Mm.
rice and gravy, chicken, just whatever. Well,
right.
One day the lady, the lunch lady, was fixing my food for me, and I wouldn't say anything. I was just watching, and she was fixing it and talking to somebody else in the kitchen, fussing at them or whatever. And she put my broccoli, because I told her I want this, and broccoli and cheese. She put broccoli on the plate, and then she put gravy on it. She went and handed it to me, and I just looked at it, and I kind of looked at her, and I was like, And then she looked down, and she went, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. I don't even know what. And she took it off. And so I went home and told Christopher, well, told Glenda and Will and Christopher about it. And he was like, in his mind, he's thinking, that sounds pretty good. I might try that. And now he likes broccoli with gravy on it.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
Now, some people look weird at me when I say I like milk and Pepsi.
What?
Oh, I don't like
yes.
milk.
What?
I don't like milk at all.
God.
Milk and Pepsi, just
that's
like in Laverne and
Shirley.
Yes.
Oh. You mix it?
Yes. I'll get a little bit of Pepsi, pour a little bit of milk in
never
there.
Done that.
Oh,
it
my
is
God.
The but if you think about it, have you ever had an ice cream float?
Right.
I don't like ice cream
no.
floats, though.
Yes. You don't like ice cream floats?
I've had ice cream floats.
You like ice cream floats?
What do you
root beer floats?
What do you have, a milk and Pepsi mix and a handful of raw hamburger meat and just go to town?
Oh, don't even get me started.
Oh, my God.
That's my idea of having a pound and a half of raw hamburger meat and a big old jug of milk and Pepsi.
Good almighty.
You're going to die of so many things.
You know what I think at this point? As long as I have eaten raw hamburger meat, and if nobody ever knew this and hasn't listened to the podcast before, yes, I do enjoy sampling raw hamburger meat.
Get you some so tainted awful. Meat and break that habit.
I don't guess it's strange, but people have said it's strange in the past. I don't like salt on my grits. I like plain, tasteless grits.
Really?
Oh, that is
like
a little
rice
strange.
With
yeah.
no salt.
I don't like salt.
Oh,
on it. I don't like butter on it. Just
it's like
grits.
What's the point? What's the point?
Just grits. The grits.
Oh, what's the point?
It's a carrier for butter.
Yeah, it's made for salt and butter. I mean,
when they invented the grit, they said they were like, "Oh, we got all this butter. What are we going to do with it? Oh, let's make this grit."
Let's call Paula Deen.
Just like plain old bland grit.
Yeah. Really? With nothing? I mean, not Texas Pete, nothing. Not Louisiana hot sauce, not
wallpaper
nothing.
Paste.
Hold on. Cliff said Paula Deen. Crowley, do your Paula Deen.
Oh, no.
Don't throw that look out. You know how to do
you
it.
You know what it is. Yeah,
you're
don't
reminding
look at
me. I didn't know what you're talking
I wish
about.
We had a picture
here,
of that
here
look.
Here we go.
Y'all, does a fat puppy poop?
Charlie said that grossed him out when he heard her say
she
it.
Said that on one of the shows.
What grosses me out is you eat rice and grits without any salt or butter on them.
That kind of grosses me out, too.
And another thing, I don't like soupy grits. I like them hard and chunky.
I like them when they get cold and you can cut them with a knife.
I don't
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of people
do like
that.
No.
That's pretty common.
Yeah, a lot of people, they'll make grits.
I like it
into a pan.
Very chunky.
Or like a bacon pan.
Uh-huh.
Put it in the refrigerator overnight. They get hard. Mm-hmm. But you cut it out in pieces and you fry it.
It's polenta. It's fried polenta.
You're reheating it. I'm not talking about eating it cold.
It's if you've already got the butter and the salt and the cheese and everything else in it,
I can eat
good.
Plain cold grits, too.
Now, someone tell me if this is weird.
Okay.
Fry up a couple of eggs, chop them up, put them into a bowl of grits.
No.
I just want to make sure.
My dad does that, but he puts ketchup in it.
Some people like ketchup and grits.
He likes it's orange. It's very strange looking, but that's the way he likes to eat it.
See, I'll put either Texas Pete or Louisiana hot sauce or something like that.
I like brown gravy on grits.
All right, I'll give you that.
That is delicious.
I'll give you that.
Cut up like some patty sausage or some link sausage and throw in there and mix it all
up. What's
up
with that?
That is good.
I did some of that actually just the other couple of weekends ago. Scrambled up some eggs, made up some grits, put some bacon and some sausage in there.
Yep.
Called the cardiologist right afterwards. And
my grandfather, when we went fishing at Watery all the time, he would get the fish eggs, the roe, and fry up eggs and fry the fish eggs.
Never had caviar.
I didn't get into that. He liked it a lot. He used to love that.
Here's one of the craziest things I've ever eaten.
I did not like caviar.
And I'm trying to remember what it is, but they were fish egg seeds. It was a health kick that was going on back in the, we'll call it 82, 83, 84. It was fish egg seeds.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Or it was
sea monkeys.
Fish egg semen.
Yeah, that's cod roe semen.
Fish egg seed.
I mean, it might have been. I mean,
I don't know.
But anyway, you poured water into it, and a little gel pocket would form around the seed. And that's, then that, and then
dehydrated fish eggs.
I've never heard of
it. It might have been. It might have been dehydrated fish eggs. And then you added a little flavoring to it, but the anomaly of it was, and the flavoring was really good. I mean, otherwise it really just had a water based flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the anomaly of it was, is that you would make a cup of it in a clear cup so people could see it, and you ate it just for kind of like shock factor.
Was it salted?
Well, I thought you said
salted. It was almost like a sweet.
I thought you said it was a health thing, though.
But it was, I mean, it was, but I mean, okay, let me reiterate. The reason I did it is just to shock people. But I didn't.
Well,
yeah,
you were probably like 11. I mean,
I was working at Mountain Park Amusement Park. So I was.
Oh, the roller coaster.
So it had to be 84, 85, 86.
Right after that,
so 14, 15, 16. Then I'd get on the roller coaster and throw up all the eggs all over people.
There you go. This has been repeated stories with TJ Lesher.
The Department of Redundancy Department.
Stories. But I remember.
Wow.
Wow.
Why'd you just stop like
when
that?
You sing, because that was a terrible.
Because I did a horrible jingle.
Can't sing.
I mean, that sounds like lowered expectations.
That's what I was going for.
Well, that's you hit it.
Good. Thank you.
You hit it. You're still stealing.
So, but what are the weird food?
I like spaghetti salad.
Let's go with the spaghetti salad.
Let's talk about the spaghetti salad.
Now, before we go into, I remember going to my grandmother's house, and that was kind of the deal. It was spaghetti
and salad.
Salad on the side. You would eat the salad, and then you would eat the spaghetti.
This is what happens when you get tired of washing multiple dishes. I'll be quite honest.
You just throw it all together.
It came from school lunch. In school lunch, we would get school spaghetti, and they would have the pre-mixed, pre-tossed, pre-nasty salad.
Yeah. With Thousand Island dressing.
Why did they
assume everyone likes Thousand Island? Because I really don't like it.
I don't either.
It's the cheapest one for them to make. It was mayonnaise and ketchup together.
With pickle cubes in it.
I mean, it's just easy to make.
I make a nice, small salad in the bottom of a bowl and put spaghetti noodles on it and put spaghetti sauce on top.
That just does sound really strange. I mean, it's probably good, but
it's good.
I mean, it's good to him.
I love salad, though. So
yeah, I love salad too. See, I mean, I could kill some salad.
Glenda does that but it's butter beans. She'll put a piece of bread in the bottom of a bowl. And then puts her butter beans on the top of that bread and eats it. Or put a piece of bread on a plate, cover it in butter beans, and eat it like that.
Now, I'll do that with SpaghettiOs.
To me, that just would make the bread all soggy like dumplings or something. Yeah.
I'll do that with spaghetti. I'll get SpaghettiOs, and then I'll put a couple pieces of bread down.
Beef stew on bread's good.
Here's something funny I do with SpaghettiOs. I don't eat them often, but when I do, I eat all the noodles out of it. And then I eat the meatballs.
God.
That's OCD.
No,
I don't have that
OCD kind
of patience. That is OCD. No, it's like separate them.
I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I like the flavor of them individually.
And you just don't get the same flavor with just the noodles in the can. You know what I mean?
You don't.
You don't get the beefy flavor.
You don't.
And I never like the ones with Frank's.
And some people
I do that sometimes. If we're making spaghetti sauce and we're using like the vegetable crumbles.
Uh-huh.
I'll take a piece of like a beef bouillon cube and drop it in the sauce.
What are vegetable crumbles?
It's basically flavored tofu.
Oh.
But okay. I mean they're made to look like it's for vegetarians who want ground beef and stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's one product out there, it's the name of the brand is Boca, BOCA. But I promise you I can make you spaghetti with that in there. You would not question whether it was meat or not. You would think it was meat.
Okay. I just never heard
and
of
the
one.
Burgers, the Boca burgers. Oh my God!
And then after you eat that, you learn how to put meat in your mouth like a man.
You if I can make you a hamburger, one of the veggie burgers, you'd say, "Man, that was a good hamburger."
He's told me about that a lot.
It really are good.
Now when you do, I'm want to try to clarify something. Mm-hmm. When you mix up and make like tuna fish to put on a sandwich. Tuna fish.
Uh huh.
Miracle Whip or mayonnaise, depending on your. I do mayonnaise. You're right.
Dukes.
Oh God.
It's got to be Dukes.
Let's talk about that in a minute.
Hang on. Salt and pepper. My parents are not trying to get through to us.
Let me out.
Salt.
It's crowded in here. It's hot. It's crowded.
Salt and pepper.
Why is it
salt and pepper?
Salt and pepper. Now, do you do? Dill, pickle cubes or celery?
I put sweet pickle cubes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Why are you making that face?
You're all idiots. That's just nasty.
No, I can't. I would. Why would
that
I
is
put,
the nastiest.
Wait, I used to hate sweet pickle cubes. I hated them. As I've grown older and my palate's become more refined, I can appreciate them.
Listen to them now.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, honestly, I like them now.
Really?
And I like them. No. And I like that little hint of sweetness in the tuna salad. Mm. Yeah. The dill, I think, would just ruin it for me. No. I wouldn't. I love
now,
dill.
Now, I'm not a big fan of the dill. I'm a big fan of celery.
I'll cut up small pieces of celery and put them in there, too.
Celery and a little bit of onion.
I like celery.
Yeah, I put onion. Yeah.
Or onion flakes.
What I don't put in it, but I can, and it's all right. Some people will hard-boil eggs and cut them up and mix them up in there, too. Mm. And that's okay. It's not my favorite.
Who puts mustard in their potato salad?
I do.
That's a huge debate.
Ugh.
That's a huge
debate. I like
debate.
It tangy.
I can't do it.
Yeah. Some people do the mustard.
And I don't like
potato.
Red onions
and
anything.
Not very much. I don't put very much mustard. Just enough to give it some color and a little bit of tanginess. I used to hate mustard in it.
And I can't get over people put the red onions in stuff. Yeah.
I don't like the sweet pickle cubes in the potato salad.
No, I don't do that.
Oh,
And I just want to reiterate, I'm not a big fan of the sweet pickle cubes or the dill pickle cubes and tuna fish.
I couldn't eat a sweet pickle by itself like that.
No, it's got to be
like
a dill.
Like bread and butter slices or whatever. No. I can't eat those. Mm.
My wife makes our own pickles. So
if it was up to me, throw those off the planet.
Right? I've never liked those.
There's absolutely no point in them. But the potato salad. Here's how you got to do it.
You're telling me how I've got to do it?
Yes. Oh, this is one of those Yankee things. Go ahead, Yankee.
And I'm sure it is because it's my aunt.
But come on, Massachusetts.
Boil the peanuts, mix them up with the...
The peanuts. You knew that was coming. I mean, you had to know. You know what?
I did have to know that you were thinking about penis.
They mentioned it first.
No, we said peanuts.
He said penis first.
I think we can go back to the tape, and they both said peanuts. And automatically you jumped into...
We said potato salad.
Right. And I'm the one that said peanuts, and then they called me out on the peanuts, and then you went, penis?
Is this a horse or a cow?
Let's go back to this.
Bastards.
I screwed up by talking about putting peanuts in potato salad. You're the one that leaped to the conclusion of penis.
Boil the penis.
Is that like haggis?
I've always wanted to try maybe a German cannibal.
It's legal now.
I don't know. It used to be illegal here. Yeah. Now it's not.
Yeah, now you can eat it. But anyway,
boil the potatoes.
Hard-boil eggs.
Well, go ahead.
Chop them up and mix those all up together, and then slice some of those and put them on top. And she would also boil some onions in with the potatoes
I put onions in mine, but I like raw onions.
Yeah, that's a Yankee recipe.
Yeah, I think it is.
My grandmother was like that, but she came from New York. Hers was just... And my mother makes it the same way. It's just mayonnaise, boiled potatoes, onions, salt, and pepper. That's it.
Yeah, that's basic.
And that's what mine is, except I add a little bit of mustard.
I hate raw onions. They have to be cooked.
No, these are cooked. These are boiled in with the potatoes.
You like my potato salad.
We should do a potato salute. You know what? We should do a salute. Shut up.
We'll boil penis and do a potato salute.
Let's boil some penis and do a potato salute. That would be interesting on
Let's
video.
Get a Kickstarter going for that.
Oh, my God.
We'll get with PD Foodie.
Let's do a potato salad cook-off.
Don't put him through that.
We'll do a potato salad cook-off.
Because believe me, I have studied on how to perfectly boil the potatoes and everything.
Now, you were talking about onions and talking about having family members from up north.
Right. I do.
Pearl onions.
Oh, the creamed onions?
Yeah.
Oh, I love them.
Oh, yeah.
I've never had them. We always used to have them at Thanksgiving.
You had them? What?
Cream pearl onions.
He's still stuck on the penis.
Once we distracted him with that, he's done.
No, I heard what you said.
It was good. They're so good.
It's not Thanksgiving or Christmas without some cream pearled onions.
Yep. Oh, correct.
Forget it.
Because my grandmother was from New York, so she brought a lot of those recipes down.
But my family is all from Massachusetts, very Irish, and I'm surprised that they had any flavoring in there.
Yeah, there's no Irish in New York.
Because none at all. They all moved out and went to Boston.
Jesus.
Did you have flavor?
Boston, huh?
Did y'all bake anything?
Like,
because everything in my household when I was growing up was boiled. Boiled ham, boiled chicken.
No, we baked. We baked.
Now,
we baked
except everything. For the turkey. I mean, they would bake the turkey.
They didn't boil the turkey?
Why?
And then boil the penis and the turkey together?
Did you break your microphone stand?
No, it's just the mic keeps... It's not holding it very well, and it keeps...
I'm not happy.
Moving down. So I just took it out, and I'm just holding it.
That's it. I'm not happy.
TLDR. I'm not happy.
It's probably the asparagus talking.
What's the deal with the asparagus? I don't get it. It was grilled, by the way.
Yeah.
That's
all I had
to say. Good? You put a little salt and pepper on there?
Lemon juice and
you
olive oil.
See the water that we poured on your head today?
Okay, well,
it smelled a little like asparagus.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Just think about that a while.
Cliff had asparagus
for lunch.
Oh, don't give too much away.
Okay.
Anyway.
Some to the
anyway.
It's probably on my hand, Steve.
Y'all must have put asparagus in the water.
That's
and just
exactly
left it there for
happened.
A while.
Right. Yeah.
It's possible.
You busted us.
Thanks. I do like asparagus.
I do too. It's good. Grilled. I tried
like
some on the
your...
grill for the first time.
But it makes your pee smell really bad.
Yeah, it does.
And like instantaneously, how quickly does it, I mean, if we're going to get...
Quickly.
Very.
And then, but then like the morning after, it's like...
It's only good after like
the morning
three cups.
After? No, nope. Mine's normally gone by then. How long do you hold the asparagus smell in you?
Yeah.
A full day.
What you need to do is top it off with about three cups of strong coffee. Yeah,
it does take the singe off of the.
I love coffee.
Yeah, it turns out it smells like Weyerhaeuser. It smells like the Domtar plant up in
so
Bennettsville.
They boil peanuts up there
and penis.
What are y'all German cannibals or something?
German cannibals?
Yeah. I'm alluding to that guy in Germany who
put the ad out to the internet. He wanted to eat a person.
And the guy voluntarily came and they he cut the guy's penis off and they
Okay, hang on. Stop.
And they cooked it and ate it together.
Yes.
Before he killed him.
People are into something called vore.
Before he killed him. And he got arrested for killing the guy, but the guy, it was totally consensual. Dude, whatever floats their boat.
No.
All right, thanks for tuning in to Only Funny Does.
Jesus
Christ. Well, y'all wanted to know.
I didn't ask. Someone else did.
Who is a German cannibal?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Anyway, that's too much.
Well, he agreed to be eaten. This was in 03.
Still. It's time to close the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
You asked.
Did you call you? Did he call it? What did you
say? You ass.
You ass.
You ass.
From the toy.
You ass.
You ass.
All right. Well, this has been a very fun-filled... Yeah. Adventure. I do want to encourage people that listen to the show on onlyfunnydust.com or on iTunes or on Stitcher or on Spreaker or on
whatever. Tune in.
I don't even know them all.
There's so many now.
All the other apps.
They're all available on the website. You can look and there's a list.
Just about every service you can find us.
Pretty much. We're on everything.
Just go there and you'll get to us.
We're worldwide.
Boom, boom, boom. Like our Facebook page, please, because we put a lot of great stuff on there.
Share the Facebook page.
And share it with everybody. And one thing that I do want to discuss about the Facebook page. I know a lot of people put weird things on Facebook. I want you to know that everything that we put up on there has been vetted by our very own Cliff, that it's not going to give you any kind of weird virus and you're not going to get any other pop-ups. If you feel rest assured for the most part, unless some sort of weird, because, you know, any weird story that I want to read, I only get it off of our Facebook page because I know you've put it up there, and you would only put things up from trusted sources.
Yeah, that's right.
That are not going to be, you know, doing anything, you know, goofy. Because you come across a bunch of things on Facebook, such as that stupid, the thing that was going on for a while, the thing, oh, shampoo did this to this person's bag.
Oh, yeah,
I dare you to click the video. I had nightmares about the damn picture forever, thinking God knows what it was.
A virus.
virus.
Yeah. And then it was a virus. Exactly. So if you see something that's on the Only Funny to Us page.
It's already good.
Yeah.
Good already, right. It's been gone through several times by
Cliff,
other people.
Cliff has already clicked it.
I've already clicked it.
And if nothing is melted down, everything
I'll
is good. And of course, anything like that on our website. Either onlyfunnytous.com or OFTU Network, same situation. We do encourage you, again, like you said, share the Facebook page. We have a YouTube page as well. Go check that out. We'll Twitter. We're going to be adding up the Ice Bucket Challenge up there. You'll be able to get it on multiple avenues to check that out. Those are all safe. On Twitter, we're now on Vine. There are some Vines up there. You can go check those out. And when you go to the websites, go to the Amazon link. If you're going to go buy anything, just go to the Amazon link.
Bull penis.
Jesus Christ.
Can you get bull penis on the Amazon?
Yes. Matter of fact,
but you can contact, But you can contact German cannibals.
Oh, my God.
Let's see if Amazon.
We're going to set you up with a German cannibal on Craigslist.
Oh, that guy's been in prison since 2004.
Sick freak. But anyway,
finger together.
Click the link.
That wasn't a finger.
That wasn't a finger.
And he wasn't popular either. So click the link. Buy whatever you're going to buy. It doesn't add anything to you. We don't stalk you because you click things on us. It's just when you buy something through our site, we get a little taste of the pie.
You can get boiled peanuts from Amazon.com.
Boiled peanuts.
Yes. And there is a way to... There's a few cookbooks.
For?
Extreme Cuisine. Amorous Appetites.
All right,
Filipino recipes. My apologies to the Filipino.
All right, we'll just leave that alone.
They are a wonderful people.
Yeah, they are spectacular people.
Matter of fact, a friend of ours' wife.
Yes.
Filipino. She's a very nice.
We know a young Filipino. Lady.
Well, and a good friend of ours from the radio station. Filipino.
Filipino
descent. Her mother is.
That's right. Yeah, she is.
And a spectacular and fantastic lady.
And what about, is it Neil's wife?
She is.
She's also Filipino. Mm-hmm.
Straight from, he goes to visit her family in the Philippines.
That's how Mark's wife, you know, they.
Oh, and Mark's wife. I was thinking Neil, and you were talking about Mark.
His was, she's.
And spectacular people.
Absolutely.
Wonderful, wonderful people.
All this from one apology.
Next week.
Overcompensating much?
Slightly.
Next week, look for something very exciting. I'm not going to give too many details. Look for something very exciting coming out within the next week and a half, on newsstands in and around the area.
And don't search for penis on Amazon. That was a mistake.
Oh, God.
I should have known better.
Oh, wow.
Great.
What's going to come up in my next commonly searched for?
You're going to be standing there. Liz will be looking over your shoulder. Go to search for something on Amazon, hit P. The drop down list is going to come down. The first thing is say penis. She's going to say, Cliff, is there something that you need to tell me?
It was research.
I think we need to have a talk.
Research for the show.
All right. Well, let me close out with this story real quick, and I'm not going to go into many details.
Oh, here we go.
But we do our group texting. Actually, Ben and Cliff do the group texting. Steve and I try to keep up. But one of them, somebody in the group, I'm really trying to whitewash this as much as I can, sent a very inappropriate, funny but inappropriate picture into the text thread. My main daytime job is working with an ambulance service, and every once in a while I have to go sit with patients while they're at the doctor's office while the crew drops them off and goes off to do something else. I was sitting with a very nice family. A wonderful husband and wife, and I was engaged in conversation, as I do, because it's kind of an awkward thing. You're sitting there in the room with them in the doctor's office room, so you just kind of drum up conversation and talk about things. And I was going through my phone, looking at something else, and a text message came in from one of the gentlemen, and so when I went to retrieve the text, just above the text that had just been sent by them, which was fairly pertinent information, was a very large inappropriate picture that the nice young lady looked over and was like, kind of raise her eyebrow, and I had to throw the phone onto the exam table to get it away from her so I could delete it later.
What was it a picture of?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. It might be up
it's
on the web.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. So as we take off, again, check out the Ice Bucket Challenge. Steve was a trooper, did a great job. He was was worried that doing it at 6 o'clock would be too cold.
Too cold at
97 degrees outside.
I was sweating like I had just done the bucket challenge. Water dripping off me.
We were dying out there. I think we finally got the challenge done at...
probably 6:30.
It was after 6.
Yeah, 6:30.
Well, it was well after 6.
Was it too cold for you?
That water was cold.
Yeah, but was it too cold outside?
No, it wasn't too cold outside.
Put your belly aching.
Yeah, I was totally wrong about that.
All right, is everything thought out? You can sing to us?
Yes.
All right. Well, again, check us out on our Facebook page, website.
YouTube.
YouTube, Vine, Twitter, all over the place.
We're everywhere.
And just share us. Share us. And even if you want to share us as a practical joke to
whoever.
To anybody.
We'll to your grandmother who wants to talk about... Boiled peanuts.
Boiled. So until next time.
Don't forget German cannibals.
Or German cannibals.
I don't have anything. Go ahead.
Just let
it die.
Let him go.
Okay. Here we go.
Just had to make you mine. But it's so hard to talk to you when fellas hanging around you all the time. I want you for my sweet pet, but keep me playing hard to get. I'm going round in circles all the time. Dizzy, I'm so dizzy, my head is spinning. Like a whirlpool, it never ends. And it's sugar making it spin, making me dizzy.
Good night.